Hey, follower of Jesus, do you have a hard time accepting God's love and believing he is good to you and not just good to others? Do you have a hard time forgiving those who hurt you? Do you wrestle with feelings of anxiety, racing thoughts, burnout, and feel like you are at the end of your rope? Do you find yourself being in pain and stuck in the past? Or maybe this one. Do you constantly question whether it's God's voice or your feelings? If so, you are welcome here and you're in the right spot. In this podcast, you will learn how to go from knowing God's word to believing God's word. I will teach you how to hear from God, discern God's voice, process emotions and feelings, let go of control, and trust God despite what you are going through. And most importantly, how to feel again, which means walk through your pain and feelings with the Father instead of running from them. We are a spirit, have a soul, and live in a body. God cares about your body, and so do I. If you are ready to grow your relationship with God and need a starting place, a safe place to process your feelings, pull up a seat and join us at the table. I'm Jessica, someone who loves Jesus but didn't grow up in the church. For a long time, I believed that if I didn't take care of myself, then no one would. I was burned out, surviving, living by what I felt in the moment, and believed God was good, but that I was too far gone. I didn't trust God with my daily life or my basic needs, only my eternity. I believed so many lies, like my body was a tool I was to use to feel loved, and that I had to strive in everything I did to prove to others I was worthy of their acceptance and approval. I allowed the pain of my past to dictate my future and keep me stuck in the present moment. I realized that even in my mistakes, with all the choices I made, I am still loved by a God whose love isn't transactional. I am loved by a God whose love doesn't change despite when my feelings changed. What I knew about God and his love slowly transformed my heart. And I am here to share all of that with you. If he did it for me, he will and is ready to do it for you. Hey friend, welcome to the podcast. My name is Jessica Hoddle and I'm your host. Today we're going to do a brief Bible study on anchor. And the great thing about this is you can actually get a 3-day study on how to deal with your emotions in a biblical way. The three emotions that I talk about are anger, guilt, shame, tied in with guilt, and fear, which is also kind of tied in with anxiousness and anxiety. And I do a brief study in the Bible context and Greek meaning and really dive into particular passages that show us, well, how do we deal with these emotions that come for us in a biblical way? But what I want to address, and I'm very aware of, is the practicality of the way we live in the world and living out scripture. Therefore, sometimes if we're thinking about, you know, feelings of anxiousness, for example, there are things that we have to work on in our relationship with God to be able to get to a place where we trust him in our relationship, and that flows from our abiding and our relationship within, which then produces automatically the fruit of the Spirit. But then there's also our circumstances around us, our commitments, what we say yes to, the things that we overcommit to. So there's a lot of things that go into this, and I'm very aware of that. So when we're talking about this Bible study today on anger, this is no different. I am not saying that this is just about scripture and that's it. Well, of course, that's a foundational piece. Hear me. If you've been here, you know scripture is so important. But we also live in the world, and there are things that happen that we don't predict, that we don't know, that we can't even control, or it happens and we're blindsided and anger comes. And we're going to be focusing on Matthew 5, 21 through 23, where it says, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the fire of hell. Now, when we read something like that, it is serious. We're talking about murder. And then he's just saying, like, hey, so if I call my, brother or sister stupid, I am liable to the council. This is pretty serious. Is it really that serious, Jesus? You know, do I really need to be held liable to the hell of fire? But let's just kind of talk about anger, and we're going to go into this. When we have anger, I think there's three beliefs that can cause us to become angry, just root beliefs. These are not absolute. These are just ideas I want us to get us thinking. Beliefs that we carry are this: I must do well, you must treat me well, and following God should feel good, or it should feel easier than this. So when those three beliefs, I believe, get disrupted in any way, we become angry. When we don't do well at something, we get frustrated. We become angry at ourselves. Or when something doesn't go the way that we thought it should, or we plan, we get angry. So a belief is, I must do well. And if for any circumstance we don't, we become angry at ourselves. The second thing, you treat me well. That's a belief that we carry. You must treat me well. And to a degree, yes, in relationships, we want healthy relationships. But there is a self-righteous way that we hold this. You must treat me well or else. And we become angry. The lie that following God should feel good all the time. And when it doesn't, we get angry. And so we have a wounded ego. We get angry over evil in the world and an injustice. You know, anger is a byproduct of just emotional pain. Anger can also be a mature response to evil. And so there is this fine line between anger and sin. Paul teaches on sin, but that's not the anger Jesus is talking about here. Jesus is not saying that you're never going to get angry. And he says to never get angry. That's not what he's saying. He doesn't command us to not get angry. It would be impossible to never not have anger here on this earth. So to break down a couple of the words in the scripture, it says whoever is angry, and that means to, in the Greek, to brood over or repay the offense over. It's like holding a grudge that you're carrying around. That's the word that Jesus is using here, is when you're angry, you are carrying a grudge around. Now, if we continue, it says, whoever is being angry and remaining angry, this is more in the Greek, it's nursing a grudge. So we're nursing a grudge in our heart against our brother or sister. And that is subject as a murderer. Raka, which is another word here in the Greek, which would be an insult or to consider one stupid. And that is answerable to the court. Now, in Jesus's day, this is very real. It's a Jewish council at Jerusalem. There's priests, there's scribes, and there's elders involved. So now if we look at the word fool, it's immoral and unintelligent. It's where we get the word moron from. So when we're breaking down this passage of scripture, we read how Jesus was careful to describe how we move from an insult, which is stupid, idiot, to judging the whole person. And it's a slippery slope. We go from shaming their behavior to shaming their character to shaming who they are as a person. Now, when he says that, you fool, right? Because we've already talked about you fool. To break down that in Greek, it's immoral and intelligence, where we get the word moron from. In verse 23, it says then, after you fool, you will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you say that to somebody, it's saying you will be held liable to the hell of fire. What is the hell of fire? I think that we often think of hell, obviously, where people choose when they don't choose Jesus. But when we think of the fire of hell, actually, it was a very real place in Jesus's time. Hell is a physical place that people would have known. They call it the Valley of Gehenna, and valley that is outside of Jerusalem. Its children were slaughtered there on behalf of other gods. The Gehenna Valley was a burning sewage. It was burning flesh and garbage. That means that maggots and worms crawled through the waste, and the smoke smelled strong and it was sickening. You can also read that in Isaiah 30:33. It was a place that was just disgusting. It was repulsive to the eyes and the nose and the senses. And so Gehenna was presented in such a vivid image that Christ uses it as a symbolic depiction of hell, which is a place of the eternal torment and the constant uncleanness where the fire never ceases burning and worms never stop crawling. Matthew 10, 28, Mark 9, 47 through 48. So the place of Gehenna, it was very real and you did not want to end up there. It was a garbage dump. So over time, the valley became kind of a metaphor for the judgment to come. And what we see through this scripture, and as I started studying this is very real, and he's talking because this is why context matters. And so again, counsel is very real in Jesus' this time. And also the hell of fire was not just the eternal judgment. It was a real place. And these people knew this. So he's talking about the issue of the heart. And when we don't address the issue of the heart, what comes out of that? Insults, words, and we start shaming the person. So there's a difference between addressing the problem that the person caused versus condemning the person for the problem. We go from insults to fools, and they both have their consequences. So God doesn't send people to hell. We have a decision to make every single day, the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of hell. But what happens here is if we allow anger to infect our heart like a cancer, we are in danger of hell in the here and now. Basically, it's hell on earth. So we say, like, I know it's not good to call people an idiot, but is it really subject to the fire of hell? Like I talked about earlier, is it really that big of a deal? It's like hell on earth, much less hell forever. What I mean by that, let's think about this for just a moment. When we carry anger and we let it infect us in our heart, like a cancer, it spreads. It spreads into what started as maybe an offense, somebody saying something to you. And the way our pain and the way the enemy works and the way our body responds to things, it's looking for things to make it justifiable. Like, I deserve this. And if we don't catch it, we're going to start living in this self-righteous kind of way, don't we? That we almost don't mess up. And I'm going to get to this, but I want to get ahead of myself. And this is a Bible study on anger. So we're dissecting these pieces of Matthew and how very real this is. And the reason why I'm doing this is because I think it's important. When we let anger run rampant, is that we experience hell on earth is what Jesus was talking to the people in his time and what they would experience from that very real place that I described. When we have anger, it's the same thing for us, hell on earth. It's our relationships become destroyed. It's the bitterness eats away at our hearts. It's we can even start to gain weight or we don't sleep at night because our bodies are holding anger and pain. And a thought can only reproduce after its own kind. So whatever seed we continue to plant and then water, it's only going to grow more of. And then it's going to branch into other things like bitterness and resentment. And so it's very serious. Murder comes from the place in the heart where the insult comes from. Heart posture of anger. So getting rid of all bitterness, when scripture talks about this, it's quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. It's addressing unhealthy, toxic, I don't even like to say toxic per se anger, but it's very unhealthy anger. And so when we go, we don't just say, don't get angry. It's not about trying harder. And I think that this is kind of a cycle that we go through when it comes to anger. The first thing is we get angry, sometimes consciously, but oftentimes subconsciously or unconsciously. Second thing that happens after we get angry, that these are all progressive, so they go in order, is our ego is wounded. It's an insult on my identity. It's insulting who I am. How could she do this to me? The third thing that happens after our ego is wounded is we get this, we become a self-righteous victim. So we condition ourselves to be the innocent victim while everyone else is the problem, right? It's when somebody upsets us, we write everybody off. Just because somebody disagrees with what we believe doesn't mean we have to write them off. So we go from angry, ego is wounded, self-righteous victim. Number four, we give our heart over to contempt from self-righteousness. This is kind of how this looks. We start to position ourselves as better than the person who wronged us. We feel good about ourselves. We write off not just their behavior, but their character, who they are as a person. We highlight their weakness and we highlight our strengths. And we start to look down at them. You know, we kind of put our nose down at them, as we would say, but not their behavior, but their character. So there's a very big difference here. Now, listen, as I always like to note, is yes, there are things that have happened to us that make us angry. And it's not okay. It's not right. It doesn't make what has been done to you right. But we, as followers of Jesus, are called to live a different way. That doesn't mean we don't live as pain doesn't exist. It doesn't mean that we deny a reality. It doesn't mean that we act as if, oh, we're just supposed to be in peace and joy all the time. Things happen and it hurts and it sucks. But pain doesn't give us an entitlement to continue to hurt others. We start to get self-righteous. Right? We feel good about ourselves. And so from that come the verbal comments. After the verbal comments is when we really experience that hell on earth and we start harming other people because our anger is left unchecked. And what happens in the end when our anger becomes unchecked, it gets into the form of abuse. And so we go into this pattern and anger becomes dangerous when we give into it. But our relationship, right, with God is tied into our relationship with people. And we see that if you go on and you continue reading in Matthew 21 through 23, and you go on to verses 24 and 25, I believe is where it kind of stops. He gives us this example of going to the temple. And before you get to the temple to leave your offering, I want you to go back and make it right with your brother. And what's important to understand about that scripture when you're reading it is knowing who Jesus is talking to again. Is Jesus is talking to the people, and the temple is a very real place in Jerusalem where every year they would go, depending on what was happening, and deliver an offering. Now, what I think is most important is recognizing the distance that people would have to travel. So some people, if they already lived around Jerusalem, it could be a couple minutes or it could be a couple hours. The people that Jesus were talking to in this scripture could have taken them days to get to the temple. So what he's saying is if you travel days on foot and you get to temple and you realize that you have an issue with your brother, I want you to leave the temple, travel back a couple of days, make it right, and travel back a couple of days again, and then you can give your offering. That puts a lot of things into perspective, doesn't it? It ties in the fact that our relationship with God is tied into our relationship with people. This is a highly practical point that Jesus is making, because a fellowship of people who resolve conflicts and do not harbor bitterness brings joy to everyone around them. But if we live in constant conflict and bitterness, we're like living in the valley of Gehenna. Right? Once again, through Jesus' application, we see two key principles of his kingdom in action. First, that righteousness is an inward matter of the heart, and it's not this external work. It's not about what can I do for God? And secondly, the quality of our relationship with God is conditional with our heart toward people. We cannot separate the two. We can't be like, I love God and I love Jesus, but I really hate people. It just doesn't work. They flow together. When we consider this passage together with the verses preceding it, as I was just addressing, we see that righteousness applies to our external obedience to the commandments and to our internal obedience. So meaning we see that righteousness, harmony, applies to our external obedience to the commandments, which is do not murder, and to our internal obedience, do not be angry. So we see that how we treat others affects our present relationship, our fellowship with others, as well with God and our future kingdom prospects at the day of judgment. Friend, I hope this brief Bible study on anger kind of opened up your mind to a few things, because I know it did for me. How many times have you read this passage and we kind of take it sometimes at surface level and we don't necessarily think a little bit deeper? And we have to remember, it's always about context. Who is Jesus talking to? What is the council? What is the hell of fire? I know for me personally, when I was doing this study on anger, it opened my eyes to, okay, like when I start to hold on to these emotions and how it transforms into something bigger, it is like living hell on earth. Because I feel it and I'm frustrated and my days start to suck and I'm fatigued and I'm grumpy and I'm not sleeping and I never want to do any, like it just feeds itself. And that's what the enemy would want. He'd want you to be at odds with your brother. Now, as I wrap up this study on anger, I want you to know this. I, again, am fully aware. You're like, hey, Jess, I'm going to go make it right with my brother. What if they don't want to make it right with me? What if the person I'm trying to talk to is abusive and manipulative? This passage of scripture can bring about more questions than answers. Can we agree? But what I want us to understand is what the basic principle Jesus is saying here. Our relationship with people impact our relationship with God and vice versa. They're connected. That it's important we always go to the person and that we don't just go through the religious moment, the movements, right? I'm going to go to church. I'm going to tithe. I'm going to read my Bible. Are we actually applying what the word of God says? More questions are going to come up. I get that. But let's look at the foundational piece. Are we addressing the anger in our heart? Are we going to the people and trying to reconcile if it's available? And are we walking through the process of forgiveness with God if it's not? This is a basic Bible study on anger to get us to go deeper, to get us to think about this and what Jesus has called us to do and who he's talking to in the scripture and how it applies to us today. Now, again, you can actually get this for free, this Bible study on anger and guilt and fear. Head to the link in the show notes and you'll be able to get it for free. It is yours for free to print up and to go through the study yourself. There's also going to be study questions for you at the end and a short video where I'm walking you through some other practical steps and tips when it comes to dealing with anger in a biblical way. So thanks for hanging out with me today. As always, challenge the way you think to change the way you live, but don't forget to leave a rating and review. Let other people know how this episode has encouraged you and blessed you. And come hang out with me on Instagram and at Jessica Hoddle and just let me know, do you want more studies on, you know, anger or fear or guilt or any kind of emotion? I would love to just hang out with you even more. So again, make sure you head to the link, get your copy of this, and I will see you in the next episode.
Do you struggle with feelings of deep loneliness, fear of rejection, or FOMO? Do you battle depression and anxiety on a daily basis? Are you unsure of how to handle it all? Do you want to learn how to make better and wiser decisions, deal with past trauma, heal from heartbreak, walk in forgiveness, all from a biblical perspective? I know what it feels like to carry the weight of the world on your shoulders while feeling like you are slowly drowning in it all. I wished I could get rid of the pain that I felt, yet I couldn't understand how God loved me on a personal level. Imagine if you had a framework where someone was there to help guide you on how to handle it all while growing your relationship with God and finally learning how to trust Him. This isn't about just praying away your feelings, your loneliness. This is about knowing you don't have to accept them, but you get to walk with the Lord through them. That's why I created the Spiritual Growth Framework course, where I teach you how to heal your heart and your life on the most practical level from a biblical perspective. Friend, it's not about how much you know, but how much you believe about what you know. You don't have to pray away your pain or pretend like it doesn't exist anymore. You don't have to memorize scripture hoping it will all go away. Is memorizing scripture important? Yes, but it's not the only thing. God's with you now and forever. He cares about your pain and your feelings. In my Spiritual Growth Framework course, you'll be able to walk away with practical application steps to heal every day, not just on long weekends or in the perfect quiet time. I'm here to show you how healing is possible, even in the smallest pockets of time. What if you said goodbye to emotional wounds, unforgiveness, and pain, and say hello to a newfound relationship with God? A place where you feel safe, heard, seen, and loved. A place where you feel like you didn't have to hide. Head on over to jessicahoddle.com/heal to join me today inside of my Spiritual Growth Framework course, where your feelings have a seat at the table, but will no longer be the centerpiece. It's time to heal your heart and your life. Head to jessicahoddle.com/heal to get started, and I'll see you there, friend.